from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm over there. I'm Kyle Madsen, I'm sitting right here. Jiffy Lube sponsors this show, and we're giving away a couple of tickets to the Sacramento RiverCats game on Friday, August 16th. If you missed it earlier, today's keyword, which you will enter at ESPN1320.com, today's keyword, all one word, hot dog. H-O-T-D-O-G, all one word, hot dog. Enter that at ESPN1320.com at the contest page, and you will be entered to win two tickets to our suite at the RiverCats game on Friday, August 16th. Come hang out in the suite, eat some food, drink some drinks, and chit-chat with me and James.
Yeah.
I think you and I are going. It's you and me, right?
I don't know if it's me.
I think it is.
I'll talk today.
It better be.
Somebody wrote it on the paper that
if you're
I'm
not
going.
I'm not going.
Uh-oh.
No, so James and I will be there hanging out. Get your tickets or enter to win tickets again at ESPN1320.com. Interesting discussion at the break. The idea of urgency in sports is really interesting because I talk about urgency a lot. And I think the 49ers and Kings both have urgency, but it's funny how different they are. Because the 49ers' urgency is to the point somebody in the chatty house said, if Shanahan loses to anyone other than Mahomes, that's when it's time to fire Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. So if the 49ers go to the Super Bowl and they lose on a last second field goal in the Super Bowl, they lose in overtime, we're ready to fire the head coach? Like that's, and it's not, that's not to say, it's just that's where the urgency is. It's like championship or bust now. And if it's not now, then we got to start having some tough conversations. Whereas with the Kings, there's the same urgency. There's the same, like, it's got to happen now, but it doesn't feel as dire as make the conference finals or heads are going to roll.
Yeah, I think it's really complicated because the 49ers have had so much success. So the Kings haven't had so much success. Like, we just talked about at the break. Like, this is, Monty McNair just finished his fifth season as the general manager slash head of basketball operations for the Sacramento Kings.
That makes sense in my brain.
Yeah.
But if you had told me, hey, rapid fire, how long has Monty McNair been Kings GM? I'd have been like 3 years.
Three. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, realistically, we're looking at this is his sixth season.
That's wild.
It is crazy.
Oh,
it's wild. I mean, he had Luke Walton for a full season and then fired him like 20 something games into the next.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alvin Gentry, and then Mike Brown for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is, it's one of those things where you're looking at him and not, like, putting pressure on him, but I think it's a difference with the 49ers where they've had all the success and you're trying to hope to see a guy get the team over the hump, right? But I would say that, in a way, the Kings put themselves a little bit into the 49ers bucket with the move this offseason for DeRozan because it kind of feels like Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Juszczyk, where these guys are running out of time. Like, we can talk about how Christian McCaffrey rate, you know, what was he, number three in the NFL rankings, right?
Yeah.
And we all think he's tremendous. He's the best running back in the game. He's the best running back in the game. And then, like, 2 years from now, he could be, like, gone.
Yeah.
Because that's the NFL.
The
and
drop
that's
off
what,
is steep.
Yeah. Like, when they traded for him, they opened up a window. When they traded for Trent Williams, they opened up a window of that player arc. And those are two great players. Like, they're literally two of the top 10 players in the NFL. When you have that as your window, that like reverberates through the rest of the team.
Sure.
There isn't another Christian McCaffrey walking through the door. There isn't another Trent Williams just ready to take over that left tackle spot. They are Hall of Famers. They're legends of the game. And so, again, when you're looking at what the Kings have done here, they went out and they got a guy who's going to be 35 years old before the season starts. So you got 35 and 36 guaranteed, and then 36 partially, his 36-year season is partially guaranteed. That's kind of your window. Like, so if you're going to do that, now what you don't do is you don't skimp on the Brandon Ayuks of the world. You don't you don't skimp on the positions that you have to. Like, if you're in, you're in. What you can't do is dabble with 35-year-old player and say, well, if we don't get it this year, we'll get him next year. It's like, okay, well, he got you there the next year. But then what? Like, he's running out of time and you don't have another replacement. So it makes this really, really difficult, like, long-term plan. So I get having a short-term plan. I get having a short-term plan that can put you into a major conversation. But at the same time, you got to make sure that if you're doing that, that it comes with the necessary moves to put your franchise in a position to be successful long-term as well.
Yeah, and that's... But I understand that to a certain respect. But at the same time, nobody cares that the Rams have been bad the last couple of years because they won that Super Bowl. At some point, the 49ers have had these quote-unquote all-in moves, but really they haven't. Because everything has been with a mind toward, oh, but what about the next 3 years? What does this look like? How do we sustain this type of success? The way you sustain success in the NFL is have Patrick Mahomes on your team.
Very true.
Have Josh Allen on your team or Lamar Jackson or pick your favorite star quarterback. And maybe Brock Purdy is that guy, maybe he's not. But like that's it. That's if you're paying that guy $60 million, that's your plan now. So this idea that they can't pay player X this amount or player Y this amount because that might mess up their ability to keep the team together in 3 years. Like that's got to go out the window to me. And I think you're right from the Kings' side of this. That's a little bit what the DeMar DeRozan deal did because you've chosen a path now.
Oh yeah,
like this is not. The time for the patience and making the right move to me is now like the risk factor might have to get ratcheted up a little bit, but another deadline, if the Kings are just on the same track, I don't think they will be, but let's just say they're on the same track as they were last year. And they're just, they look kind of like the same team. If they go into this deadline, it's not going to, let me take that off the table. They're playing well. They are, man, you know what? They're the four seed right now, but they are pushing Minnesota for the three seed. They are hot on Minnesota's tail. To me, that's the point where you go, hey, we've got something here. Let's take a big swing or let's push it. Like that's where the urgency cranks up for me with the Kings. It's not necessarily they need to go win a title this year.
Yeah.
Or they need to make the conference finals this year even. But if it looks like, hey, they're a PJ Washington type of move away from really being a problem in the West, that to me is where, dude, picks be damned, whatever salary they're dealing with. I know there's restrictions, but That's where the urgency cranks up for me, is that patience and waiting for the right move. Like, nah, man, to me, if you can go for it now, you got to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, every single move that you do puts you in a different position long term. Mm-hmm. And again, I just think that the DeRozan move puts you in a very, very different position. And like, look, I'll say this, like, when the night that the Kings landed DeMar DeRozan during the California Classic.
Yeah, what a moment.
Everyone is super excited. DeMar DeRozan comes out. Like, it's you know, they fought really hard to get the deal done that night so they could introduce him to the crowd. He was in the building. It became like this big thing, right? The initial buzz from everyone that I'm talking to is they're not done. They're trying to close in. They're trying to work out a deal for one of these other two players, whether it was Markkanen or it was Kuzma or somebody. They're like, they're going after more. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we see right now, I don't know if people have been out there, like the Jake Fisher story from this morning, he's breaking down the Lauri Markkanen situation, because he has this extension that's coming up. And, if they extend him on the one, there's one day where he's eligible for an extension. And if they extend him on that day, he's eligible to be traded by the trade deadline.
It's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's the 6th. If it comes on if he gets his extension on the 7th, so people are predicting that he won't actually sign an extension until the 7th, and it will be what Sabonis did, from what I can read, from what I've heard earlier, where they renegotiate his contract up and then sign him to an extension off of that. If he signs on the 7th, he is not eligible to be traded at all this season. And so people are saying, well, if he wants to be traded, he's going to sign it on the 6th. If he doesn't want to be traded, he's going to sign it on the 7th. And so it becomes like this really interesting, or he could just not sign it.
Right, and just hit free agency.
Yeah.
And if he signs it on the 6th, and I may have just missed this, so forgive me, literally the day of the trade deadline is when he's eligible to be traded.
It's 6 months from the day of signing the extension.
Which would be?
The NBA trade deadline day. Yeah, so, but hiding in Jake Fisher's story is this line. He talks about, you know, both the Warriors and the Kings made legitimate efforts to sign Markkanen and dating back to the start of free agency. But then he adds, the Kings made significant progress in talks with the Jazz this summer, sources say, which ultimately fell apart by early July. So same exact time frame. Like, that's when this thing fell apart. And I don't know what that means, but that's the type of, like, dual all-in moves that you're like, okay, you're all-in, all-in.
This is it.
This is it.
This is the team.
Yeah, because you're throwing away every draft pick that you have. Mm-hmm. You know exactly how much you're going to have to pay Lauri Markkanen, and know that you're locked in for that money. All of it. Like, it all had to happen, at, like, not at the same time, but... like, that is, like, the all-in of all-in moves.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen then, and I don't know that it's going to happen. Like, between now and tomorrow, basically, is when you're going to know. Well, maybe not. Because you would have until the 6th of February. Yeah. You can't even trade him until that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he does not get his extension, or if he tells them, no, I'm not signing an extension, then I think things are going to get very awkward with Utah, because they just lost all their leverage.
Yeah.
They have a player on an expiring contract.
Oof.
And it's a bargain basement expiring contract. And they can trade him, but every team in the league is going to be like, well, yeah, but will he sign here?
Right.
And do we know that for sure?
Oh, that's a tough spot.
And you have his agent that's out there telling spot. People, no, he really wants to try out free agency. So it just becomes like this really, really interesting, like, difficult scenario.
I want to continue this discussion about the idea of all-in moves in the NBA. But before we do that, it's time for everybody's favorite radio segment. It's Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. What's good. Up, Mitch?
Hey, James. I think Lauri might cost too much. I think I hear DeAndre Ayton's on the market. He's got 2 years left. And we get him, we don't have to give up, I know you have to give up something. But we would have the bird's rights. But the way he's playing, he's not going to get all the money that he could have gotten had he played up to his potential.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco, they drafted their wide receiver in the first round, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they should trade Debo. You know, I think he's a little better because he can play running back. He gets hurt a little time. Trade Debo, and then you're able to keep Ayuk. Would that happen before the season starts? And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate you. The Niners can't trade Debo this year. It'd be super expensive. Mm. And they're definitely not doing it at this point of the season.
Got it.
If they do re-sign Ayuk, I think this is Debo's last year with San Francisco, though. And that may also be part of their calculus with Ayuk. If they pay him X amount of dollars, if it's 30, then they know for sure they're not keeping Debo. And that may not be something that they're willing to give up on.
Yeah, and as far as the Ayton stuff, like, you don't trade for Ayton because he can't play with Sabonis. And, like, I don't know. Like, for me, DeAndre Ayton is
he's
always
a theory guy.
Yeah.
He's an in-theory guy. He was supposed to be, like, a stretch five, and he could do all this stuff, and he's just not.
No.
He put up big numbers at the end of the year with Portland last year. I don't buy DeAndre Ayton. I don't. To borrow a phrase from Logan Murdoch, I don't buy his raps.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, we should get Logan Murdoch on the show.
Okay.
I love Logan.
Me too. All right, I'll hit him up.
That's interesting. Yeah, like for me, like Ayton just doesn't fit, and he doesn't shoot the three at all. He's also, he was a natural shot blocker when he was young, and he hasn't been the last couple of years. Like, we're going on 3 years where he's under 0.8 blocks per game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't love him as a player, and I think the for some reason the Phoenix Suns, I'll say this forever, they get off like the hook with the passing on Luka Doncic for some reason, when they also drafted a guy who, for a number one overall pick in a draft that has two, like, mm-hmm. 25 to 30 point per game scorers in Trae Young and Luka Doncic, yeah, in the top five, and a defensive player of the year and Jaren Jackson Jr. in the top five, they get off pretty easy, and it all falls on the Kings and Marvin Bagley.
Ooh.
So I just don't think
The Hawks is the worst one, though, because they literally drafted Luka.
And, yeah.
And
then they wasted the pick. That, well, I don't waste it, but, like, I don't want to be
crazy
mean to Cam Reddish, but, yeah.
They did not, in the aggregate, get enough to replace what Luka would have given their team.
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
You mentioned the Kings going all in. I think at some point, this is where my mindset is with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point, to compete in the NBA, I think you have to. I think at some point, whether it's this season or next season or what, at some point in this DeMar DeRozan window, right? Let's call it 4 years. Let's just
okay,
call it 4 years. At some point in that 4 year window, that all in move, I think, is going to have to happen. If you want to compete for an NBA championship, unless Devin Carter turns into like an all NBA guy or Keegan Murray takes some atmospheric astronomical leap,
yes,
then that changes. But I think right now, kind of given the trajectory that I believe Keegan is on, and not projecting Devin Carter out to be like an all pro, I think at some point that move is going to have to happen, where they make another seismic Sabonis type of move that takes them from, oh yeah, good team, to, oh, they are contending with Boston and with OKC and with Denver and Philly and New York and whoever's going to be good. I don't know, but that's how I'm operating. Like, the DeMar DeRozan move was great. I think it makes him a playoff team this year and maybe does so comfortably. But I think if they're going to take that one more leap into preseason, everybody's pointing at the Kings as a title contender. I think that all in move has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because, like, people, like, maybe you're ignoring the fact that the all-in move came from, like, the Boston Celtics did their all-in move again this year. Like, this is a team that had lost the finals.
Fair enough.
They went to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost. They lost again in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, in the last, like, I don't know, 6 years, lost Eastern Conference Finals, lost finals, lost first round, lost Eastern Conference Finals, lost semis, lost Eastern Conference Finals, lost Eastern Conference Finals. They did their all-in move twice. They not only went out and did like a DeMar DeRozan caliber move, they also did the second move.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and got Porzingis, and they went out and got Jrue Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt. They, mm-hmm, you know, they traded Marcus Smart, like the heart and soul of their team.
Yep.
They won an NBA championship.
Yep.
Like, it costs. It hurts. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that is exactly what you have to do.
No doubt.
You know, it just depends on what you want to be, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a team who hasn't been and you made the playoffs once in 18 years now, that's where we're at. It's once in 18. But if you're that team, like, you're always hedging your bet. Like, do we have enough? Do we have the stars to build this thing around and to get to the next level? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. You don't know until you try.
Yeah.
And so it's an uncomfortable position to be in, though.
And I could be wrong. I could also be wrong here. Maybe Domantas Sabonis takes another, I mean, you can only go so far. Maybe he takes another, whatever small step is left for him, maybe he takes it. And maybe De'Aaron Fox starts going for 30 a night and Keegan takes his leap. And all of a sudden we're looking at the Kings in January and going, they're the one seed by four games.
They're their juggernaut.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's
it's
sure
possible.
I wouldn't bet on it. But again, that's where I, like I said, I think in the realm of realistic outcomes, I think that all-in move where they're trading four firsts and pick swaps and pick a player for super duper star and, oh my God, look at the Kings.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of how I'm operating. But maybe they get that production elsewhere.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody real quick that there's preseason football this Saturday.
Mm.
Like actual players putting on pads and helmets against another team and hitting each other. Raiders at Vikings right here on ESPN 1320. 12:30 p.m. coverage begins on Saturday. Football's not back, but as a person who writes about a team, who podcasts about a team, I'm excited to have actual like game stuff to discuss.
Okay.
Even though it's going to be backups and end of roster spots and all that.
In week one, is that what you do with preseason now? Is that you don't play anybody?
It depends.
We're not going to see. It's not going to be Sam Darnold versus Gardner Minshew.
Well, Darnold might be playing.
Yeah.
Or starting. But no, I think we see a lot of J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
Probably a lot. I bet you see both Raiders quarterbacks because there's a competition there, I guess.
I guess.
Which is, I'd start. I'm fully in Gardner Minshew camp. I'm a big Gardner Minshew guy. I think that he is the type of player that's going to do the F it Devontae's down there somewhere offense. And that to me is a great version of the Raiders offense. I'm all in on the Gardner Minshew idea. But apparently the Raiders feel a loyalty to Aiden O'Connell and maybe he'll be the starter. But they're going to duke that out in the preseason for sure. I think it depends on the team. It wouldn't surprise me if the Niners had... depends, actually. Trent Williams, I doubt very seriously, is going to get a contract and certainly not going to suit up by Saturday. So I don't think they're going to put Brock Purdy behind a version of the offensive line that doesn't have Trent Williams on it.
Yeah, that's tough.
But maybe you see McCaffrey for a couple series. You might see Debo for a series or two. But I don't think their starters are going to play a lot in the preseason regardless.
Okay.
Yeah. But the Raiders, I think you'll... Like I said, that quarterback battle's got to play itself out. I'm interested to see if Brock Bowers plays, how he looks. Yeah. But if I'm not playing Christian Wilkins. I'm not playing Max Crosby. I'm not playing Devontae Adams.
No.
I know what I'm getting out of those guys.
Yeah, well, that and you don't want somebody doing hero ball trying to get their name out there and crushing one of your dudes.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing is we sit here and... I don't want to say preseason doesn't matter because in the context of wins and losses for the regular season, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like just by definition, it doesn't. But there's those guys who you're talking about who are trying to make a name. There are players who are on the roster bubble who, hey, Terrell Davis famously against the 49ers, actually, I believe in Japan in a preseason game, flew down and had this huge hit on kickoffs. And that was what opened the coach's eyes to like, oh, who's this Terrell Davis guy? And he goes on to have a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Like preseason for that stuff matters. And you're right. If you've got Devontae Adams out there running routes against some corner who may or may not make the Vikings and he decides he's going to go for this interception and takes out Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Boy, that's a tough look.
Don't love it.
Yep.
Don't love that.
That's why preseason basketball is fine. Well, summer league basketball is fine. And having your good young players early in mm-hmm. summer league is fine. But there's a point where some players stop playing in summer league. And there's a reason for that. Because mm-hmm. you're trying to get a look at everyone towards the end. and is like, I don't think I want my kid, my player out there running up against.
You don't want De'Aaron Fox as a rookie getting his knees dived out on a loose ball by Rando who's trying to catch a G League roster spot.
No, totally. Yeah, or a big man who can't really control his body trying to block a shot and sending your guy eight rows deep on accident. Yeah, that's not what you're looking for.
Nope, definitely not. Do we want to do Olympics now? We have like 2 minutes.
Oh.
Minute and a half.
That's not enough to...
No, I don't.
The Olympics is like, I'm watching nonstop. I don't know about everybody else, but...
I've gotten fully into it. I'm checking the schedule every day to find out what events I'm going to watch. I woke up early to watch the U.S. Women's National Team in their knockout stage game.
Yeah.
Really, really good game against Japan.
Yeah.
That was awesome football. Trinity Rodman. That goal was so nasty.
She's been a star.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fun.
I love the hair, the pink braids.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a great look.
Yeah.
Shout out to Trinity Rodman. U.S. Women's National Team plays again on Tuesday.
Okay.
I believe they play tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that what I said earlier?
If they get to... We're to the point where if you get to that win, if you win...
I think you're into the medal round.
I think they're already in the medal round. Where the top four teams. Am I wrong? It seems like
that
we should
right.
be getting close.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think NBC has done such a great job with the coverage here.
Yeah.
Of the stuff in primetime, but then it's all live. They've got the quad box stuff going on. They've got a million channels you can go watch stuff on. I think they've done a great job.
They've done a great job this year.
Speaking of NBC, there's some NBA... I have an NBA media rights question for you.
Uh-oh.
That I think is going to be a hot button issue once the new rights deal starts, and we'll dive into some Olympic stuff as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, "What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition?" You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Keyword is hot dog. It's all one word at ESPN1320.com. Go enter that keyword at the Rivercats contest page on ESPN1320.com because we're giving away two tickets to our suite at the Rivercats game on August 16th. That is next Friday. Go enter the keyword hot dog for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the ESPN 1320 suite at the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th. Shout out to Noah Lyles. The American sprinter won the 100-meter gold, the men's 100-meter gold, won by one thousandths of a second.
0.005.
If you take 1 second as a unit of time and split 1 second, 1,001, into 1,000 equal units of time.
Yep.
He won by five of those.
That's wild. Like,
that's correct.
I feel bad a little bit for the announcer, which I'm not sure why he chose to go all in, but he went all in on the wrong guy winning.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to. You're caught up in the moment.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he calls like horse racing, so he should have known to like hold out. And he didn't. He rushed to say that Keyshane Johnson, Keyshane Thompson from Jamaica, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had won.
Yes.
And it was like
to be fair, on first look, it super looked like he won.
Totally.
So I think you go for the big call, and if you're wrong, you go, oh wow, it was oh my goodness, how close, it was so close, versus.
I would try to build a drama like, we don't know who has won. That's what I would have gone for.
But then if it looks obvious in the moment, he just thinks that guy won.
Yeah.
You don't want to try and build drama when it's like, oh yeah, that guy clearly won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we're talking about by 0.005
of a second. Yeah, but it didn't look like that. It didn't look like that live.
That's funny.
I would be interested to know.
Oh, Indy car racer, announcer. My bad.
Yeah, so I think you take the 50-50 shot. You say, that guy's who won. I'm going to let it rip. And if it's wrong, okay, so be it.
I don't know. I'm not calling the guy out because he did think that he had the right call and he was off by like such a minuscule amount. But like the race itself is crazy because like the winner and the eighth place are by so close.
Yeah.
It's like nine hundredths,
I think.
Yeah, it's something crazy.
Ridiculous.
But, you know, of course, you know, Fred Curley comes in third behind the other two at 0.02 seconds behind. Like, it's just like...
Get in the gym one time, guy.
Yeah, bro. What's up? This is interesting, though, because Noah Lyles is like a renowned trash talker. He's a guy who trash talked the NBA players and all that stuff.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Backed it up.
He did. He backed it up.
He usually runs the 200 and was like, I'm going to go win the 100.
Oh, yeah.
And you just did it. That's incredible.
It is incredible. Now we need to see if Shannon Sharpe and Chad Ochocinco come up with the $25,000 each.
They do.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hope they do.
I bet, except you'd have to do that quietly. Because you don't want to do that loudly because then the IRS is going to come after him. You just want to quietly hand him like, hey, here's...
Quietly. You don't want to bring... Yeah, but...
25 racks.
Chad Ochocinco. You see him, Chad Johnson, walking up with like a golf check. That's what I would do. Like... Yeah, I mean, you've like when he first came in the league, you know, the first couple of years, he's crazy. Like, he like lived at the facility.
Mm-hmm.
So he saved, like, he even had all of his checks like stacked up and they told him to put them in the bank. He's like, what? I don't know how to do that. And they're like the whole thing was wild.
Yeah. And he like subsists on McDonald's.
Yeah.
He's also famous on the internet, Chad Ochocinco, that is, for having a $100 tab and tipping like $1,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's very generous. Dude. That's good. Yeah.
So
it's good that he figured that out.
I have no doubt that Noah Lyles is going to see his money from the nightcap show with Shannon Sharpe and
Spectacular.
And shout out Joe Cinco.
They'll get a sponsor to pay the sponsor to pay the sponsor.
Hey, can you really call yourself the fastest man in the world if you won by 5/1000ths of a second? Like, I leaned forward more than the other guy.
Maybe. Like, you are the fastest man in the world, but for, you know.
I'm joking. If I was at the pinnacle of anything, I don't even know what I'd be at the pinnacle at. If I was the pinnacle of anything by the smallest possible fraction.
You're making sure everyone knows?
Oh, yeah.
Getting a shirt? I am
the fastest man in the world.
It'll be on your coffee mug.
Yep. Dude, oh, you couldn't tell me any. I'd get tattoos, T-shirts, stickers. Oh,
I'd be wearing the hat every day.
Good for Noah Lyles. Good for Noah Lyles. Simone Biles choked today in the floor exercise, everyone.
Spoiler alert.
Oops. I'm not going to dump it.
Kyle.
Spoiler alert. It's out there. It's on TV. It was on TV.
It's on TV.
Spoiler alert. That happened. You think people rush to anoint her as the GOAT?
No, I don't think people do, but I think this.
I was kidding about Simone Biles, by the way.
I think we're in a culture where like you're just trying to name the GOAT all the time, and it's like, okay, like, you can't have two of the greatest of all time. You can have someone surpass the greatest of all time, but it feels like we're always searching for that. And I think for her sport, yes, and for what she does for her sport too, because she takes like the limits and stretches them mm-hmm. like so far past yeah. everybody else. Like
yeah.
even what we were talking about, the vault, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her level of difficulty, just by trying the level of difficulty, would have meddled. Her
Insane.
Level of difficulty was so much higher than everyone else's that just by like attempting that, whether she stuck the landing or not,
she could have face planted.
She was going to defeat everybody.
Yes. Just by doing the moves in the air, she would have meddled.
And then you watch it and you're like, that is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my entire
She's
life.
She's outrageous.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there was a rush. I think that this Olympics was the one where you went, hey, if she goes and shows out again.
Yeah.
Like, she's won the all-around gold in three Olympics in a row.
That's wild.
It's insane. With all the other medals she's stacked up, I don't think there was a rush. I think there was an excitement.
Yeah.
But in other cases, yeah, I think so. I think GOAT has just become the, oh, that guy's awesome. It's like, yeah. Oh, that guy's the GOAT. He's really good.
That's where I'm always like, yeah, some people do, like, is it Katie Ledecky?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of the top 35 timed speeds,
yes.
Like the top, she has 34 of them.
Yes.
And the other, the girl who came in second or whatever, the Canadian mm-hmm. young girl, Summer or whatever her name is, who's been killing it. Mm-hmm. She has one, and it's like the 19th fastest time or something.
Insane.
Yeah, it's totally wild.
I think it's just kind of the natural progression, right? Because if you're an Olympic athlete and you were awesome in 1976, you're going to be less awesome than an athlete today. We talk about it with basketball and football and baseball, how hard it is to compare eras, because in the 1920s in baseball, guys were like working at coal mines and then going out and playing baseball on the weekends, and that was how they got good at the sport. Whereas now you've got kids who are 8 years old and they have specialized coaching and they're playing seven games every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
With games during the week and practices during the week. So I think you're just Simone Biles or Katie Ledecky or Michael Phelps or whoever, I think it's just going to kind of continue happening as training continues to get better. We understand mm-hmm. The limits of the human body better. I think you're just going to kind of continue seeing that. But at some point, like the limit gets reached of what, like at some point, the fastest person alive is going to set a record that never gets broken.
Yeah.
Like at some point, the.
You think?
Yeah.
You don't think they'll always beat the time?
Yeah, we're not going to see a 6 second 100-yard dash.
I don't know. We could keep seeing the 0.0005 shaved off like every year.
Sure, but even that, those guys were all in the nines.
Yeah, but like, I don't know.
I'm saying that the human body,
yep.
physically, is going to reach a peak of what somebody can do. And maybe Simone Biles has just done it. Maybe she has set a standard that nobody will ever surpass.
Okay.
But maybe in 20 years, there's another gymnast who comes along who's doing what she was doing at but better. Jumping higher and more explosive and bigger, faster, stronger. I guess bigger and isn't necessarily
that's not that difficult
in gymnastics. But no. you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Just the uptick in athleticism. I think at some point you're going to reach that peak, I think.
But okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll just until there's a 1 second 100 meter dash.
Her sport is so specific and you can be creative in what you're doing. It's not like, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's amazing either way.
Yeah.
She's like 4 foot eight.
She's ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a story. You know how we talked about and a lot of people have talked about every time the Olympics comes out, what would you be an Olympian in? Somebody said if there was Olympics of Disneyland, what would you be a gold medalist in? I said knowing where all the bathrooms are.
Oh.
I can let you know. You can take a picture of where you are in Disneyland, I'll tell you where the closest bathroom is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your skill?
It's my skill.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, dude.
Huh.
I don't want to elaborate on why that is a skill, but your boy be knowing. So people have wondered, and we said to it, God, I like air rifle, for example. That's a thing that conceivably I could stand up there and shoot an air rifle, but I'm not going to score, much less medal, right? Well, here's Kristen Faulkner. Let me tell you the story of Kristen Faulkner, because she has provided hope for you and me and listeners everywhere that they may one day medal in something. So Kristen Faulkner, this is according to Joe Pompliano. Kristen Faulkner grew up in Alaska. She rowed at Harvard. She was on the rowing team at Harvard. After school at Harvard, she moved to New York City, where she worked for a venture capital firm. Well, she decided one day, you know what? I'm going to take a beginner cycling class. I'm going to cycle around Central Park. She took this beginner cycling class and went, hey, I like this. I'm going to start doing this. So 5 a.m. every day, she started getting on her bicycle and riding around New York City. And then she said, you know what? I've gotten pretty good at this. It turns out there's competitions. I'm going to participate in these local competitions. So that's what she did. And then she went, I'm really good at this. I'm going to quit my job at a venture capital firm in New York City. I'm going to move to California, and I'm going to become a full-time cyclist. She was then added to the Team USA road cycling roster 1 month before the Olympic Games began. And then 7 years after taking a beginner cycling class in Central Park, Kristen Faulkner won gold at the Olympics in Paris. Shout out to Kristen Faulkner. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
7 years. We keep talking about people working at this for a lifetime, and she started this because she was bored before her job one day in New York City.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
Did you see, you talked about the air rifle. I think it's one of those marksman things.
Mm-hmm.
Where like everybody's got all these like uniforms and
the
stuff,
Turkish
and
guy.
Like all, and the dude just rolls up like a t-shirt,
t-shirt and joggers, ready to let it rip. That was incredible,
and he did well, right?
Yeah, he got second place.
Yeah, I think he medaled. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Let's get Kenny Caraway in here for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building, everybody. Let me add him to the stage. There he is, Kenny Caraway. What's up, dude?
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up?
Chilling, doing the thing. Hey, I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
With the new NBA media rights deal, mm-hmm. one of the things for NBC is going to be exclusive games that are on Peacock.
Okay.
So Peacock exclusive games.
Mm-hmm.
Are we calling those national TV?
Yes. Yeah. It's national TV. Everybody in the country can watch them.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think it is because, like what you're saying, like...
It's available to a national audience.
It will be blocked out, though, in certain areas.
Yeah, because I think they still have they have something with the regional networks in those.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, you guys might have read a little bit more on it than that. The ones that are going to be the app only, maybe those are blacked out. NBC, I think they treat like TNT, like the TNT games. NBC mm-hmm. that's almost the whole reason why all this is happening because
mm-hmm.
they want to be on broadcast
mm-hmm.
in the week. So mm-hmm. that Tuesday night and what is it? What do they say for football?
Basketball Night in America.
Yeah, that Tuesday and that Sunday night they do that. That's going to be everybody. And there will be no regional broadcast.
Right.
Okay, so TNT and ESPN, as of right now, if they're in the building, you don't have an NBC feed. If NBA TV is in the building, then they both play the same game. Mm-hmm. They have, you know,
yeah, they can both play. Yeah, because they're taking the home broadcast.
Yeah, they're taking the home broadcast, right? So I guess here's my question. Now I'm forgetting what my question was.
God, story of my life. You know, okay. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's that is there going to be NBA TV? Is Amazon taking over for that?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, multi-billion
dollar question. The $22 billion question.
Because that was what TNT was doing, allegedly. Like, they ran it out of their studios, and they had a lot to do with NBA TV running. And I would think, to be honest with you, I think Amazon will just take over that and take over the production side of it all.
Okay.
But with all these games going on, there's no need for an NBA TV game.
Yeah.
Because there's...
I'm going to be streaming everywhere.
Yeah. Every night, 7 days.
By the time the next NBA media rights deal comes up, there's going to be 3 streaming services.
Mm.
And like, that's it. That's where everyone's going to be on TV.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Yeah. And then it's going to cost the same as
We're going to circle back and reinvent
cable. We're thinking that's so just much cheaper.
For so long, I rejected that joke and that like take. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm on this many subscriptions and I'm paying way less. Da da da. But you know what? It's undeniable now. They're literally just circling back to inventing cable.
That's all it is.
You know, very frustrating.
I read about this in the Athletic today.
Uh-huh.
NBC is paying more for the NBA media rights than they do for NFL media rights.
Mm.
Wow.
That's crazy. I wouldn't expect that.
Me neither.
They only have 2 games, right?
Yeah, they get a playoff game, they get Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, Sunday Night Football, and then playoffs.
And then they get a Thursday night game on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and you would think they're the number one with the NFL. Sunday Night Football is number
that's
one.
The one. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess they don't really get their pick of the well, no, they do. They get the best playoff game on Wild Card Weekend. The Saturday night one they get the first pick, I think.
Hmm.
So the whole point was they're paying more for the NBA than they are in the NFL, and they're number one with the NFL.
Yeah. Hmm. That was just a wild little nugget that I guess it makes sense. They negotiated the NFL deal a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now the NBA deal is up and there's more competitors for it, I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
Are you guys kind of feeling a little more confident in the NBC media rights deal after watching the Olympics and how well NBC's done with this?
Oh, I was all for it from the start. It was time. Same. It was time. It was time to move. Same. And I like TNT. Obviously, I like Inside the NBA. If there was a way to make it work with them staying, great. But once they told me NBC was on board, it was like, all right, we gone.
Mm-hmm.
We gonna like figure it out. I like Amazon. I like the aspect of Amazon and what they like. It's not the best out there, but it's still really good what they do with Thursday Night Football, pre and post, and all this other stuff. But NBC was the one. Once they said, "Oh, we can get NBC in here," it was time. Yeah, I love their presentation.
Is that nostalgia driven for you at all?
Maybe so. I mean, NBC just kind of feels like a bigger deal, though. You know, it feels like a bigger stage than TNT. To be honest with you, maybe it's nostalgia driven with this too. Feels like a bigger deal than ABC when it comes to sports.
I think that's a nostalgia thing because I don't have like a ton of memories of NBA on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Most of mine are TNT and ESPN. So ABC is the one for me. When a game's on ABC with Mike Breen on the call, that just feels big to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. It's just one of the things about it, though, is ABC is never, outside of Monday Night Football, they've never really been like big on the sports stuff.
Yeah. Right?
You have Monday Night Football, which is maybe the biggest telecast in all of sports outside the Olympics. But other than that, they tried baseball for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked it, but it didn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, I like what they do with basketball. I don't have a problem with it. But NBC, you know, the Olympics, football. Basketball in the past. Now they're bringing basketball back. It seems like they number one to me.
Yeah. I can't get used to Joe Buck on ESPN.
No.
I don't like it. The Joe Buck Troy Aikman tandem on Monday Night Football doesn't do it for me.
No.
No.
It,
I need that Fox Saturday afternoon. That's the game I'm going to care about.
Do you
if
think,
the Niners aren't playing?
Do you think anybody on NBC or excuse me on Monday Night Football will like work and like make people happy? Because I don't think there is.
I like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and I think they do a fine job. Mm. I'm just used to them being the national game on Saturday.
I agree.
Or I'm sorry, on Sunday.
I agree.
Like it's just there's like a. Is cognitive dissonance the word I'm looking for?
Deep dive right there. I like
but
that.
It's just like my eyeballs seeing Monday Night Football and my ears hearing Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, those two things don't work together.
And that's what I'm saying. Like people would rather have them on the Sunday game of the week or something like that.
But they're the best football broadcast.
But and not saying that you're complaining about them per se. But Monday Night Football commentators are still like, I want them there. Like, I don't know if there's anybody that people would be like, nah, this is a great, at this point, it's somebody be like, this is a great Monday Night Football broadcast.
Yeah, it's a great.
Because they're the best.
They are. No, they are.
And people are still like, I'd rather have them there.
Yeah. The Booger McFarland thing was weird. That was a bad look for Monday Night Football.
I didn't have a problem
with Booger McFarland. Nah, it was tough. He was a tough go. He was a tough watch.
Not great.
No, I don't. It'll take a while. I'll get used to it at some point.
I wish they would put those guys back on Sunday and just let somebody do the broadcast. Let them be there for 5-6 years. Like even the Booger McFarland thing. I mean, Witten wasn't really that good, but let them people be on there for a little bit.
Yeah.
And let them grow.
Yeah. But, well, that's what they're doing with Buck and Aikman. They're going to be there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. What do you guys got coming up today?
I don't know if this is an epiphany, but I got something to say about the Noah Lyles.
We call those kinpiphanies.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a kinpiphany. I don't know if I can classify it as that. Because
I also missed time. We still got a minute. So.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm gonna leave that because D-Lo don't even know what I'm about to say about that.
Oh my god,
man, he don't even know what I'm.
You didn't
about
put
to say
it in the rundown?
Nah, I mean there was no room, but I don't know if I would have put it in anyway. So we'll talk about that, and then Brandon Ayuk looked like he might be on his way out.
He's gone.
That's crazy.
Yesterday I was on with Jake Gaden yesterday, and I said like I think he's getting a deal done, and then just the more I read. I thought about it. I don't think a deal's getting done.
I don't think so either. It seems like the Niners have turned the corner where they've been resistant to even think about trade. Now they're putting it out there through their people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're ready to make a move.
Well, and if Amari Cooper's available and you're getting a good player back, that's always been the hang up for me with the trade.
The streets are saying, Brandon, I said no to that though. That's what the streets are saying. Like if you read the tea leaves.
I didn't hear that.
Because you know the streets are talking. Because you know he's got to kind of accept that.
Yeah.
Like because he's got to sign the extension.
So,
we'll talk about it though. We'll talk.
Can't
about
wait. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. James, great job. We'll talk tomorrow, 10 a.m. The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.